The Sportscast, October 7, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, Periscope, YouTube, and iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. And we're also on DAB, online digital radio. So make sure you check us out. And you can do that by visiting on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, for the latest and greatest in sports news. And all our podcasts are there as well. And this episode is brought to you by Insta Bible app. You can download the Insta Bible app on the iOS App Store. Dwayne Haskins, his time is up at Washington. He's now being benched by the Washington football team. And Kyle Allen, a guy from Carolina, will be the starting quarterback. And the backup quarterback will be Alex Smith. And join us all and join us together. I mean, today is Mr. Ryan Krista, all the way from upstate New York. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Santiago, what a wonderful day to be talking sports.
A lot going on, which we're going to jam it up a little bit for half an hour. How do you feel about that?
Let's do it fast and furious. We like it.
Sounds good. Okay, let's go to the Washington football team, Ryan. They made a change, obviously. The Redskins have been having a kind of a bad couple of weeks. They won their first game, their opening game with the Eagles, but then they lost their last three, so they're pretty much 1-3. What do you think about these changes, and you think Kyle Allen is the man in Washington? I am losing your audio.
Go ahead. I was a little thrown off by the decision, you know, not that the bench him, but to go with Kyle Allen over Alex Smith. I thought playing Alex Smith is more of a veteran guy who's been around, maybe rally up the team, but obviously I'm not there in practice. Maybe Kyle Allen is outperforming Alex Smith in practice. But Kyle Allen, you know, he's, you know, been around not a long time, you know, two really okay seasons in Carolina. He played 13 games last year, threw for 3,300 yards, 17 touchdowns, 16 interceptions, which is, you know, not awesome. But, you know, I think, you know, you've got a division in Santiago where the, even though they're 1-3, they're practically tied for the division, you know, because the division's so bad. So you don't want to go too far, you know, you want to try to rally the team, stop this losing streak. You know, you could be cruising towards the victory. So the division at 1-2-1. So I can understand that move because, you know, Dwayne Haskins isn't really improving. You know, he's falling behind. You know, he's putting up good stats because they're falling behind and then end up throwing at the end of the game. I think they don't want to do that. You know, they want to take control from the beginning of the game, and hopefully a switching of the quarterback will do that. You know, Kyle Allen's a guy who started out at Texas A&M, highly regarded player, and then ended up at Houston for his last couple years, put up decent stats. I think, you know, you'll see the team. I just don't think the team is overall talented. I don't know exactly what they're hoping for. I would have kept Haskins going because, again, get to the playoffs, you're not going to win a championship this year. You're going, I don't know if you've seen enough sample size. Maybe the organization has. But remember, Ron Rivera, the new coach, did not draft Dwayne Haskins. It was the previous regime. So they really don't owe anything to Dwayne Haskins, you know. So could this be a move to, you know, go in another direction, so when the draft comes next year, they're ready to make another change at the quarterback? We'll see.
How about Alex Smith? He has now gotten better after a year injury. He's now the backup quarterback. What are the chances for him to move up to the one spot if Kyle Allen doesn't do well?
I think there's a good chance because, again, you're talking about a player who's battled, you know, a horrific leg injury in Alex Smith, you know, many surgeries. I mean, actually listed in a roster right now is kind of impossible. You know what I mean? You know, highly unlikely, but so I think there's still that factor. You know, you don't know exactly how he's going to react once he gets on the field. But again, I think, you know, a game or two that Allen struggles, I think Smith will get a chance. Because right now Haskins went from 1 to 3, and I think that going putting him at the 3 means he's inactive for the game. You know, it gives him a chance to clear his head, watch the game, not worry about, you know, that he's going to go in, because it's very highly unlikely he goes into the game. So I think if they ever make a quarterback change again, I actually think they go back to Haskins over Smith.
Interesting. So Haskins definitely has a shot to come back.
Yeah, because he's got the talent. You know, they have Terry McLaughlin, and, you know, beyond that right now, they don't have a whole lot going on for that team. So I think this team is building. I know when you say the Redskins fan, they've been building for a long time, but I think they got the right coach, and I think they drafted well. It's just going to take some time. So to me, I think they pulled the trigger a little early, but that's, again, I think a new coach wants his own player back there.
A whole lot of drama, of course, with the Washington football team. And also keep in mind that Ron Rivera is battling cancer, so there's a lot going on. But as Ryan said, they do have the chance to win the NFC East.
Have you ever seen anything this bad since Seattle? Yeah, oh, my goodness. What a dump. The definition of a dumpster fire is the NFC East right now.
But the Cowboys, I mean, what's up with the Cowboys? Now, is it a coaching issue, or are they just making some dumb mistakes?
They're just falling behind by a lot. Their defense is playing terrible. You know, then Dak Prescott's putting up, remarkable numbers. You know, 450 yards plus in 2 games in a row. Unheard of. But, you know, they're falling behind by so many points. They're always playing catch-up mode that, you know, they need to start the game stronger. Yeah, I think coaching is huge. I didn't know what you're going to get from Mike McCarthy his second time going around, but this is the reasons why the Packers fired him. Yes, he's got a good offensive mind, but I don't think he's a guy to ride that ship. I don't think he's a good head coach.
Definitely something to look at. More NFL news. Ryan, a second New England Patriot game. Stephon Gilmore, he's a cornerback, got tested positive for COVID-19 this morning. Practice was canceled. I've heard they canceled practice before they found out. And then I also heard another story that they canceled right after they found out. What are your thoughts?
I probably presume it canceled practice once the organization knew there was another positive test, because basically you don't want anybody around, you know. And by the time the media got wind of, you know, a positive test, they found out practice is canceled. That's kind of how I suspect to happen. It's not good news, Santiago, not good news at all. But again, you gotta test everybody, and then you gotta test the Chiefs, Santiago. You know, they just played a game 2 days ago, so that's something to really look at too. Are they gonna play the Broncos on Sunday? If it's just Gilmore, probably, as long as the Chiefs didn't get it. Also, it's just a delicate situation. It's, you know, the NFL is still learning how. No, they got protocols, but protocols are just words written on a paper until something actually happens, you know. And there's you got to be able to put them into practice, you know. And, you know, I think we just got to deal with it, you know. It's a new normal.
Well, they most likely got to close down the practice, like the Patriots practice facilities?
Stop at least for a day. I think it's got to be 2 days, I think, at least.
Wow.
So again, I think that's the reason why they wouldn't play the Broncos this week, at least on Sunday.
You're hoping that game will be postponed, which is what it sounds like. It will be postponed.
You know, we wake up first thing, you know, this morning. Good news, you know, another day yesterday. The Titans not having any positives. You know, Cam Newton's asymptomatic. You know, things are going good. You know, what about 7:30 a.m. Things start. You know, hearing about the Titans more positives. You know, Stephon Gilmore, and I think the Raiders had somebody test positive also. So, you know, it's just, you knew it was going to happen. You know, it's all coming in at one time, you know. So the problem with the NFL scheduling is there's no flexibility really, other than, you know, one bye week.
Which they're planning to add a 18th week, Ryan.
I think that's got to be your most logical solution right now. You got to give some give and take. You know, if you want to play the season, you got to. You see it in college football. There's a lot of give and take. You know, they scheduled it. They understood it, these leagues, and they scheduled in more bye weeks than usual. So well, I think that's what you're seeing. But the NFL was kind of, as usual, pretty bold in their assumptions that nothing was going to happen, I think. Or I think they could overcome it. But as you learn, COVID's going to happen to everybody. You know, it's not everybody, but, you know, it's not going away right now, Santiago.
More bad news for the Tennessee Titans. Two more players were tested positive this morning. Delaying the reopening of their facility. I guess the Bills game might be in jeopardy as well for them.
See, this is where the flexibility issue happens, Santiago. The Titans already took their bye week last week. Now, what do you do? You know, NFL, did they add another week? Did they make the Titans forfeit this week? I mean, the probability of them playing right now seems very small. It was, I think, 50-50 going into today. Before the positives, but now I think you're looking at a small percentage. And everybody's like, oh, they should just play Monday night. You know, why don't, if they get back in, you know. Well, the problem is the Bills play next Thursday night, Santiago. So then if the Bills play Monday night, then you have to move the game next Thursday to the Chiefs. And you think about this, Santiago, you have the undefeated Chiefs, the undefeated Bills. That's the big night for the NFL. You know, they want to, you know, take caution with that game. So there's a lot of moving pieces.
Something to definitely look at, as I usually say. The Titans, you know, there was one case that I saw last week, I believe, when the Falcons found out one player that got tested, but they had this had the game scheduled as a regular schedule. I'm not sure if you heard about that story.
Yep, AJ Terrell, rookie out of Clemson. Tested positive, I think, the day before. They just put him on the COVID list, and they just played the game, you know. Which is kind of different to what happened to the Patriots. You know, the other day, you know, Cam Newton gets tested, and they stop the game. So I don't know if that's something to do. That's a lot of problem with the people following it is – you cancel or delay the game because the quarterback gets it, but a regular player gets it, and you just keep on playing. So hey, that's just kind of an observation. I'm not quite sure. I'm sure there's a lot of moving pieces that we're not privy to the information to that goes into these decisions. But, you know, the optics are just different. And I'm not quite sure what went into delaying the Patriots while the Falcons played, you know, the day after.
The first Patriot player that was infected was Cam Newton. So far, he's been asymptomatic, so the protocols are a little bit different. He got about 5 days to get better and obviously have two negatives. So Cam could practice by tomorrow, but with this, with the second Patriot player getting infected today, that might delay the facility's opening for two more days. So that'll probably be till like Friday or maybe Saturday. So far two teams have been, or maybe two and a half, Patriots, Titans, and the Falcons have issues. The Titans especially have a lot of issues because it feels like every other day they will get infected. So hopefully things will get better for the NFL. I know that the NFLPA have been doing some investigations at the Titans facilities, and they've been noticing some flaws in it. So hopefully they'll get that corrected. And what you're saying, like, I believe the protocols is they might force teams to forfeit if they don't follow it.
Yeah. I think when news broke last week about the Titans, it became first thing people said, you know, the Titans are going to have to forfeit to the Steelers. I think that's the last result, thing that would have, you know, I think because they had the bye week left, you know, that gave them a little flexibility. But, you know, right now, again, you know, it doesn't look like you're going to play the game. What do you do? Is the league just basically, do you cancel the whole week this week? move it all the way to this new week you add on to the end of the year. Again, these are, you know, it's Wednesday. You've got time, but you got to be probably made a decision today.
Something to definitely look at. Of course, we'll be following along. Follow our Twitter.
You know, let me just say this. You know, baseball season started in August. You know, first 2 weeks of baseball, no issues. And then what happened, Santiago? The Marlins came, right? And
you know, half the team or most of the team got infected.
And what happened, Santiago? It got resolved. They played. And what happened right now? They're in the playoffs. You know what I mean? The organization's playoffs, but in general, the season went on. They followed the rules and carried on. And that's what the NFL's got to do. It doesn't look good right now. It's a bad look. But you kind of just got to press through and hope for the best. The difference between baseball and football is you can make up games a lot easier in baseball than you can in football.
Yeah, so far, we'll definitely keep an eye on that. Follow us on the Twitter account at TheSportsCast1 for the latest when it comes to development. Another league called the NBA are in a bubble, and they have way less issues. And the Lakers last night won Game 4 by defeating the Miami Heat 102-96. It was kind of scrapey, kind of tough for the Lakers at the beginning, but they're able to scrape it off. Ryan, is this it? Is this the Lakers and LeBron James' fourth championship?
It looks very, very good for that situation. Last night was back and forth, Santiago. It was a hard fought. In an era of lots of scoring and not a lot of defense, this game is very, very hard-nosed. It's very tough. It was a good game to watch. You know, both teams competed at a high level. But Anthony Davis is, you know, he's a difference right now, Santiago. When he's on, he's just an impossible matchup because you can't guard him in the post, you know, because he's, you know, too tall and too strong. So, you know, but then, you know, you guard him out by the three-point line and he's going to, you know, drive right by you. You leave him open, he's going to he hits a three-pointer at 55% in the finals. It's just a matchup nightmare, you know, and LeBron just carries on, you know. Like, just the fact of this, Santiago, we talk about the 2003 NBA draft class as one of the best draft classes ever. And it was. You got Carmelo, you got Dwayne Wade, you got Chris Bosh.
And LeBron James.
You look at Carmelo's hanging on by a thread, but he's nowhere near the player he was. Chris Bosh is already retired. Dwayne Wade's already retired. And what is LeBron James doing, Santiago? Playing at an MVP level.
High level, correct.
That's something special. You know, you don't have to love the guy. He's very polarizing figure, but you got to respect, you know, how he maintains his body and the level that he continues to play at is something special. You can't deny that, you know, as a fan of the NBA and as a observer, you have to recognize, you know, it's the same as Tom Brady. You can like him or hate him, but you have to recognize a man's 42 years old and right Sunday, you know, he's throwing for 400 yards. I mean, who could have thought that, you know? You know, I'm 35 years old and sometimes it's tough for me to get out of bed in the morning, you know, nonetheless playing an NFL game, you know. So you've got to recognize, you know, this a special breed, and that's LeBron James is, you know. He continues, you know, Anthony Davis may make the special plays, but every game, you know, he just continues to carry the team, you know, LeBron James. But, you know, the Heat are battling their butts off. They're obviously a little overmatched. Game 3, Jimmy Butler came through, you know. But you can't – the type of level that Jimmy Butler played at Game 3 is way above his head. You can't expect him to do that each and every night. And that's the thing with the Heat, you know, they have a lot of good players. They don't have that superstar who's going to LeBron James or Anthony Davis who are going to come out each and every night and put up, you know, special numbers. The Heat have got a player each night who put up really good numbers and a lot of good players, but that's the issue and that's the difference. But they'll develop. I mean, you've got Bam Adebayo who's, you know, going to be the next Anthony Davis. You know, he's just Anthony Davis in training. You know, Tyler Hero, you know, is very special. You know, Jimmy Butler, you know, is probably on the downside of it being, you know, his career, but he's still playing at a really high level. You know, and then you got Duncan Robinson, who is a special, you know, 3-point specialist. You know, it reminds me a lot of J.J. Redick. You know, he may not be ever the go-to player, but you know what you get. You leave him open, he's going to hit the shot. So the Heat, I think, and Eric Spoelstra is just the right coach. Underrated, you know. When he had LeBron James, he built a system that would succeed him for LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh. You know, they basically takes a couple of years to accumulate the talent, and he builds a system around these players. And there's a willingness to adjust, you know, his playing style is, you know, is a sign of a great coach, you know. And his teams always play hard. They don't make dumb decisions, you know, and they compete, you know. And that's what you see on the Miami Heat. You see a team that's overmatched. You know, they don't have the horses the Lakers have, but they got heart and they got desire, and it's something for them to look at and say what they want to be. You've got a couple of years of these players not making very much money, and eventually these players are going to get huge contracts, and you've got to maybe have to pick and choose which ones you want to keep. But right now, you've got to capitalize. You know, hopefully they're able to sign, you know, maybe one more person in the offseason that just really completes this team.
Would a healthy Dragic and a healthy Bam, would that have made a difference or not much?
I mean, I think Bam played. He wasn't 100%, but I mean, I don't know what more he could have given you. He played hard. You know, it wasn't polished, but. You know, he battled in there with Anthony Davis. He's about the only one that he can stop him. You know, I think it takes 3 or 4 different players when he's not in there to, you know, to really contain him. And that's the problem is you take those couple players to stop Anthony Davis, and that's when LeBron and company will beat you. And that's but the future. So, you know, they really – when the season started, who would you talk about in the East?
Milwaukee. That's
Raptor?
It.
Milwaukee, the Raptors,
and Boston.
Sixers and Boston. No one's talking about the Heat. Everybody thought, okay, this is a playoff team, maybe.
Eighth seed. I've been hearing eighth seed back in the beginning of the season. I remember.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I think you thought. Okay, they make it a playoffs, they get destroyed by the Bucks. What happened when they played the Bucks? The Bucks were not even in the same class as the Heat were, you know? That's just a testament to how far this team's gone, how good of a coach Spoelstra is, and frankly, how good of a GM Pat Riley is to go out and find these players. You know, the problem is the way the Heat were finishing the season is that they're a borderline playoff team. So they were never getting high draft picks. So when you pick in that end of the lottery, you know, you really, it's hard to hit that home run, and I think you've hit a couple home runs with Tyler Hero and Bam Adebayo. Kendrick Nunn, Duncan Robinson, those pieces that they're putting around this team, you know, and obviously they struck gold with Jimmy Butler, you know, because Jimmy Butler could be one of those players that tears your team apart because he can be egocentric. Or you put him in the right situation like he was a youngster with Chicago, and he can take a team on his back like he tends to do. But go back to your question, if Dragic was healthy, it's could have, would you? It's more opportunity for Tyler Hero. I think, you know, they work good together. So, yes, maybe Hero will have a little less pressure on him. But at the same time, I mean, I don't think he would make that big of a difference in the outcome of the series.
Well, the Lakers are up 3-1. Game 5 is on Friday night, so we'll see if the Lakers clinch a championship they haven't done in 10 years, and it'll be LeBron's 4th championship, definitely getting up there with the Kobes and the Michael Jordans. So looking forward to history no matter what happens. Let's go into college football. The Florida Gators are 2-0, Ryan. They beat on week one, they beat Ole Miss 51-35, a lot of points there. And then they beat the Gamecocks by 4 points, 28-24. How would you perceive the performance 14, this year so far?
38-24.
I missed time. 30-24. That looks better for Florida. But so far, 2-0. Are you satisfied of what you're seeing right now? So far.
Am I satisfied or 2-0? Yes. Is it totally, you know, I'm watching the game Saturday, you know. For many years, it was, okay, I hope our offense can just score a couple of touchdowns because our defense will hold them. It's complete opposite. You know, I just hope that our defense stops them a couple of times that our offense is going to score a lot of points. It's a totally different way of thinking, you know. They've recruited some different players, and you got an offensive-minded coach who's, you know, going to throw the ball. Got the right quarterback, Kyle Trask, who is playing at a Heisman level. 10 touchdowns, one interception. You know, he's got 20 incompletions on the whole season, so he's throwing, you know, throwing the ball very well. You know, Kyle Pitts himself, the tight end's got 6 touchdowns, so he's got a go-to receiver. You know. Down the middle and on the outside, you know, you got playmakers, Kadarius Toney, Grimes. You know what they got to do? They got to be able to run the ball. They're up 38-14 in Santiago, going into the fourth quarter, and their inability to run the ball, grind out the clock, let the game clocks, you know, stay around, you know, and get a couple of touchdowns later to make this game actually a little closer than it really was. But you know, you're going against one of the mystery teams of the SEC in the sense of, okay, Texas A&M's got talent. They got a 3-year starter and quarterback in Kellen Mond. They recruited well, but what happened Saturday when they played at Alabama, they got steamrolled again. They don't look like they're playing at the level of the talent that they have. So, yes, the Gators are playing better than the Aggies right now. They're about, you know, the program's farther along, but this is a trap game because even though you're not going against 110,000 fans, you're going against 30,000 fans, which is probably the most fans you'll play against all year. They're, you know, highly into the game. You know, this is a game that they've circled at home. So I think you're going to get Texas A&M's best shot because this is their season, Santiago. They're 1-1. You go to 1-2 in the West, and it's over, especially you already have a loss to Alabama. So you know you're going to get your best shot from Texas A&M. You know, are the Gators going to get enough? I think they'll be able to score. Are they going to be balanced enough to, you know, to keep control of the ball, you know, and get enough stops? That's going to be the difference in the game. Because the Gators will get pressure on Mond. You know, they've been able to get pressure on the quarterback. But their back end, the secondary, which I thought was going to be the strength of the Gators, because you bring back Marco Wilson, you know, Clear Elam. You know, these are two highly rated cornerbacks and a lot of experience in the second, you know, in the safety position, but continuously they're getting burned by the deep ball. So that will be, you know, a factor to watch. But, you know, I think this is going to be a one possession game going into the fourth quarter. I do hope the Gators, and I do believe the Gators will pull this out, but it's going to be a highly entertaining game.
This weekend, of course, is college football. Anything else before we head into predictions? Because there will be college football prediction games. Anything sure, else you want to talk about? Alabama, sure. What are you seeing so far?
Alabama, awesome. Mac Jones, you know, the other high.
Are you convinced he's a starting quarterback?
Absolutely, Santiago. You can't watch Saturday and not think so. Is he playing with a full deck of cards in the sense of, you know, the wide receivers? Absolutely, you know. It's not hard, you know, to play pitch and catch, you know, when you got Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith out there. But, yes, he's a real deal. Alabama's a real deal. I know our friend Justin is highly concerned about their defense, but, yes, they will be okay. They got a week or two to prepare before that big game against Georgia. So
that defense doesn't look 100%. It just doesn't seem too reliable, doesn't it?
It's college football in 2020, Santiago, is different. You know, I think, you know, when Nick Saban came in 10 years ago, the game has changed. You know, the SEC, it was all about, you know, running the ball and ball control and play defense. Things have changed, you know. You know, it's outscoring the other team, not, you know, is the, really the name of the game. And once Nick Saban, you know, figured that out with, you know, Tua and Jalen, you know, that, you know, you got to build your team a lot differently. They're successful. And I don't think he understands that, you know, was it perfect for Alabama Saturday defensively? No, but it wasn't horrible either. You know, it's kind of the going rate in the SEC. So they're going to get a real test on defense too. With that saying, when you play Mississippi and Lane Kiffin, Matt Corral is a great quarterback. There is speed all over the field for Mississippi. The problem is when you talk about bad defense, and that's what Mississippi is there. Alabama will be able to score as many points as they absolutely want to on Saturday because Mississippi won't be able to stop them.
College football is getting interesting, of course. Keep in mind, guys, every SEC team will only play SEC teams, so there will be no Mercer, no Citadels. There will be a lot of wear and tear, that I can tell you. But we have no time.
Santiago, before we go into predictions, Liberty Flames 3-0 playing against the Louisiana Monroe Warhawks on Saturday to go 4-0 before they have their big – with their first ACC football game against Syracuse next Saturday. So a big contest for the Hugh Freeze and the Flames as they get back on the field.
Man, the momentum carry on towards those ACC games. Let's begin Florida versus Texas A&M. Ryan, can Florida win on the road?
Absolutely, yes. And I share a quick little story to share about this game is Kyle Trask, the quarterback of the Florida Gators, his parents were Texas A&M graduates who fell in love with going to football games at Kyle Field. Therefore, they named their son Kyle. So it's ironic that, you know, that he'll be going to Kyle Field on Saturday to play against the Texas A&M Aggies. But yes, go Gators.
Quite interesting storyline. Let's go Virginia Tech at UNC.
Very important battle, two undefeated ACC teams. No team really has been affected more by COVID, but still playing their games in Virginia Tech. Still haven't played their starting quarterback, Hayden Hooker, but I that's why I'm going to go this week with the Tar Heels.
The Tar Heels, the baby blue. The Tennessee Volunteers at the Georgia Bulldogs.
Game of the week in the SEC, Santiago. Mm-hmm. You know who has the longest winning streak in college football right now?
Tennessee.
Tennessee, 8 games in a row. Have they beaten a marquee team along those 8 games? Absolutely not. Two games against Missouri, 2 games, you know, against South Carolina. So, yes, they got an 8 game winning streak, but this is a prove it game. A lot on the line, you know, a lot of big game in the SEC East. But I do think Georgia. That defense. If you want to talk about a team that plays defense in the SEC, the Georgia Bulldogs play defense. That is a mean, nasty team. And I think they found their quarterback in Stetson Bennett. I want to say the Volunteers, but I got to go with the Bulldogs.
You can't go wrong. Safe bet. Alabama versus Lane Kiffin's Ole Miss.
If you want to watch a game where you're going to see a lot of points, a track meet, go for this game. I just think Alabama could score 70 in a heartbeat against that Ole Miss. So I'm going to go Roll Tide.
We'll see if they tweak that defense. And finally, it could be the game of the week, but maybe not for Ryan. The Miami Hurricanes at Clemson. The Clemson Knights.
Yes. So you want to talk about it here. I'm going to go back to my man Kyle Trask here at the Florida Gators. Santiago, the Hurricane quarterback of the Miami Hurricanes. Him and Kyle Trask played in the same high school, and Kyle Trask never started a game because he was always Derrick King's backup quarterback. Fun little fact there. But Derrick King and high-flying Miami Hurricanes go against the number one ranked Trevor Lawrence, Clemson Tigers. This will be a good game. I think this is a lot in line for the ACC to see how the conference has improved in general. When the second place team goes, you know,
second-seeded team.
Yes, basically goes against the King. I just think it's still the King's team, still Clemson, still Dabo, still Trevor, still Travis Etienne, still too much talent. I'm going to say the Tigers roll.
Hey, Ryan's picking safe picks, no daredevil picks. I'm picking Miami. I think Miami has to knock out the King and the Beast. Maybe this might be the year for it. And
it,
if,
it might be the first of two matchups, Santiago. It might be the first of two matchups.
Quite possibility. Would be nice to have another rematch. NFL Thursday Night Football, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus the Chicago Bears, which did not do well with Foles this past weekend.
Oh, they talk about whiffing on quarterbacks. The Chicago Bears are a tough watch at times. But I am going with, again, my man Tom Brady up there, 42 years old, slinging it around after going down 24-7 to the youthful San Diego Chargers. They came back and won the game, and I don't think they look back because I don't think they're going to give up many points to the Chicago Bears this week.
Scotty Miller, I think he's the new Edelman.
He is. I don't know if that's a racial profile in Santiago, but yeah. Short white guy.
I'm just saying, favorite player. I didn't say anything about race, but I'm saying that he likes to pass to him, and I picked him up for fantasy, so it's probably a good pickup.
I don't know if Mike Evans will be playing, but I don't think they need Mike Evans to play in this game.
A factor. And, you know, who do you think is the go-to, I know, like, they've been trying to go to Gronk, but it feels like they're going, well, O.J. Howard's injured, so probably Brate. Right for like the TE position.
Yeah, you got Bray, you got Gronkowski. They're loaded. You know, no team has more money.
The tight end position is good for Tampa. They could, you know, yes, like, I canned them out like anything.
We don't know about Fournette. We don't know about Godwin. We don't know about Evans. So yes, they have injuries, but I think they still have way too much more talent than the Chicago Bears right now.
They got Ronald Jones, by the way.
They got Ronald Jones. That team is they're okay.
You can't go wrong. I think I'm pretty confident they're gonna win like the NFC South.
Oh yeah, so I think we talked about this last week. You know, me and Jeff. You know, this is not. You know, yes, the Saints did play a little better this week against the Lions. They scored some points. Drew Brees is a little bit better, but this is not the Saints team we're used to. The only thing we know is that the Falcons aren't going to win the division. And still, we're talking on October 7th, and Dan Quinn is still the coach of the Falcons, and we still don't know why.
Sticking with, you think the Patriots performed well, even though they lost against Kansas? Like, do you think they were able to contain them?
That defense was really good, Santiago. I mean, 26 points, and, you know, 7 points of that was off of a pick six. The offense of the Patriots did not help them out at all. You know, there was so much pressure on their defense. I think they played very well. Belichick had one of his better game plans against Mahomes. You know, you don't underestimate, you know, what, you know, Bill Belichick, you know, when he was motivated to put up a good game plan, he will. And again, he proved it the other night. And I know the game wasn't close, but. What the Chiefs usually do on a Sunday, that's not what they usually do. So.
But if Cam was present, would it be a little bit different?
Absolutely. I don't know if they would have won, but it would have came down to the end. If the defense played the same way.
And there you have it. You can watch Thursday Night Football NFL tomorrow night at 8:20 p.m. Tampa at Chicago. So it should be quite interesting. Poll question of the day. What is the best Frappuccino? Options are caramel, s'mores, pumpkin spice, or midnight mint mocha. Ryan, what's your choice?
I think we talked about this the other day. I'm not a coffee guy at all.
Oh,
but
hey, good for you.
got my Pepsi Max, though, Santiago. That's my coffee.
But if hypothetically, in a perfect world, which of these would you have?
Probably the pumpkin.
But is it like all year long? I mean, well, anyways.
Timing issue up here.
Yeah, timing issue. Obviously, pumpkin spice would win, even though if it's only through from October to December, is definitely one of the best. But the Sportscast fans and followers are picking caramel as winning first place at 71%. S'mores at 14%. Tied with pumpkin at 14%. Midnight mint mocha is at 0%, Ryan.
I don't even know what that is.
I know I don't, which I should have put Java chip or Java chocolate chip frap. I think that's probably was like the fifth or sixth that I was doing some research yesterday on. But anyways, you can definitely vote on the Twitter feed. You got about 8 hours to vote on it. So definitely choose your choice and make sure that you are pick which Frappuccino is your favorite. Ryan Christo, what is the best way to reach you? Talk to you about Joe Flacco starting for the Jets this weekend.
Oh, boy. What? I saw that. And I was... Kudos to Sam Darnold the other night for trying to play through that injury, but I think he probably did more harm playing the other night. I mean, he shouldn't have been playing. But yeah, Joe, that's why you're bringing Joe Flacco. You know, he's not going to hurt you. He's just going to – he's a game manager right now, Santiago, and he'll do that. You know, probably still not enough for the Jets. I don't know why, you know, Adam Gase is still coaching the Jets, and I don't know why Dan Quinn's still coaching for the Falcons.
Maybe he's too early for Black Monday.
Santiago, are you ready for Tua yet?
I mean, I've been hearing, like, because, like, the next couple of games are pretty easy, so it's pretty doable for Tua to, you know, play those games and start, you know, and probably have less risk of injury. But I still think wait till December, man, to be honest. I want to secure – I mean, this guy is very fragile.
Yes, and frankly, look at what Ryan Fitzpatrick's done. It's not his fault, you know. I think he's playing
– he's a bridge quarterback. He's not going to win the Super Bowl for you, but he is going to – give you 8 wins at least, I guess.
At most. At his best, he's a fun quarterback because he's going to keep both teams in the game. You know, he's going to make the good plays for you, but he's also going to make those "what are you doing" plays, you know, right to the other team. You know, so. But yeah, I think, you know, keep a couple more weeks, keep him, you know, watching and learning, you know, until you absolutely know your season's over. Then you bring Tua in because then you have nothing to lose. You know, so. I still think, you know, the Dolphins aren't that bad of a team. You know, they're better than I thought. You know, they're just not getting those wins at the end of the game.
It just takes time. But anyways, what is the best way to reach you, Ryan, online?
Mad Dog Report 18, you know. And then, you know, keep up to date. You know, we got a lot of good live tweeters during, you know, our major sporting events going on. So keep up with the Sportscast Twitter, you know, during the NBA Finals and NFL.
We just haven't really touched on the college football. Only Alabama games we live tweet. But hopefully Florida soon.
Yeah, well, you know. I'm just waiting for the Florida games not to be played at noon, Santiago, in the middle of a Saturday when it's nice out, you know. I got DVR. I watch it late at night. You know?
Oh, that's why it's kind of quiet at noon time. Anyways, as Ryan was saying, you could follow our live tweets at TheSportsCast1 on Twitter or go to thesportscast.net for the latest and greatest. We're always breaking news, what's happening, especially in the NFL, what injuries, who's opting out, which player got, you know, was tested positive. So definitely keep us up to date. We just don't do podcasts. We also do some late breaking news and news that we get before ESPN does. So definitely follow us at the Sportscast One. Tomorrow night, and Victor Orocho.
What shows do we have coming up this week?
Yes, tomorrow night we got Victor Orocho, and he will be having former NFL ref tomorrow night.
All right. There you go. He's always good for a Giants rant or two, I think.
But, yes, he said that the Giants are going 0-16. Can you believe that?
Yes, I can't believe it.
Oh, wow. 0-16, come on. I mean, the only team that I know in the past have done that is like the Detroit Lions.
They have six games against the NFC East, and he's got to win at least one of those.
The tank for Trevor begins this season.
Yeah, but Santiago, they're only one game out of the playoffs right now.
That's true. Yeah, right now the Eagles are number one. But anyways, definitely follow us. And watch the Victor Orocho show live on Periscope at the Sportscast One. Definitely some good treats. We have a full lineup of shows throughout the week. The Sportscast is definitely formulating to a full network. And listen to our live radio. And I do want to disclose this. This is breaking news. There is the Sportscast app available for iOS. You can download that right now. Go into the App Store and you're able to listen to our podcast, radio stream, read our latest articles and news. You can do it all there and check it out at the so search for The Sportscast and you should see it there. So anyways, Ryan, great show.
Yeah, it's a fun show. It's always great. You know, so much going on, you know, it's in the sports, you know, in our 2020 sports world, always breaking news. So stay up with The Sportscast to keep you up to date.
The sports dump still going. Anyways, have a great day.